hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to see you today, sir. Hope everything's going well.
It's going better here than it is at Columbia University. Have you seen what's going on down there?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. You know, Bill, I keep thinking parents are spending like $70,000, $80,000 a year to send their kids to these incredible schools. I mean, they have a reputation that won't quit. I mean, where does your kid go to school? Well, he's a junior at Columbia. My God. Well, now it's becoming an embarrassment. Last night, Bill, they had a bit of a violent riot at Columbia, and they couldn't find any policemen. It's like somebody said at the police department, "Nah, don't go down there. You'll just get hurt." And it was they took over a building. You know, they had a 2 o'clock deadline yesterday. The administration of Columbia, which is feckless, useless. If you're sending your kid to Columbia, and these are the people who are in charge, reconsider, okay? Yeah. Because these people are not doing their job.
Your kid's safety and their best interest is not in theirs.
Exactly right. These people are, they're not doing their job. It's as simple as that. So they had a 2 o'clock deadline. They said to the protesters, "You have until 2 o'clock to get off the green and to end the protest." And the protesters literally flipped them the fickle finger of fate. Said, "Okay, yeah, watch us." And 2 o'clock came and went, and nothing happened. There was no repercussion. You know, it was. Then I think they had another deadline. They pushed it back to like 3 o'clock, and again, nothing happened. Well, they're there now, folks. They're still there. Now they have a building. They've occupied a building. They showed a picture. Maybe you saw it. Inside the building, they've gone in there, the protesters, and they've defaced the hallways. I mean, when this is over, besides repairing glass, they're going to have to go in and repaint a lot of the building. This stuff all over the place. It's
And who's going to pay for that?
Well, it's going to be paid for by the tuitions, the parents of the kids who were going to Columbia are going to pay for it.
Are the kids protesting?
Well, here's the thing. This is, in my opinion, now this is just an observation from the outside. Mm-hmm. I think these are the same, for the most part, the same protesters who did Occupy Wall Street, who did Black Lives Matter. I mean, they are the same.
So you're saying they're professional protesters.
They're anarchists. They go to the campus. They raise a lot of hell. They get the vulnerable.
Well, then why don't we bring in not the National Guard, the military, surround and swarm and take them all in, identify them, catalog them, and put to the public who they are. If it's a student,
You should say that. Columbia, obviously, it's useless. But University of Texas, they haven't protest down there, and they got a little rowdy down there. The difference being the police, the Texas police would have none of it, and they went down there and they picked them up like calves. They dragged them off to their patrol cars and their wagons, and they arrested them. And now they're saying at Columbia, by the way, that some of these students are going to be expelled. No, suspended. They haven't hit the expelled word just yet. Suspension is essentially vacation time, you know? They don't lose much.
Jim, if you or I did something like that when we were young and we defaced anything.
First of all, I have to worry about my mom and my dad.
Yeah, that would be the worst because you embarrassed them when their family name hit the TV.
Yeah.
And you know what? And maybe that should happen. You know, it's just, let it happen. But, like you said, maybe these are professional protesters, and let's go in and get them, catalog them, ID them, and let's peel back the layer of this onion and see the face of what's doing it. Well, and you know what? There are kids, they're rebelling for different reasons, but sometimes, this extreme is not you need to do.
This is the sad part about it is, some reporters took some of these young protesters at Columbia aside and said, what are you protesting? What is it? What is from the river to the sea mean? What does that mean? Well, it's just a saying. But what are they talking about? Well, it's just a saying we use. No, no. There's a river and there's a sea. Tell me which river and which sea. They couldn't come up with an answer. You know, it's the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. What they're saying when they say from the river to the sea is they want to remove Israel from the face of the earth. That's what they're saying. From the river to the sea. These kids don't even know what the hell they're talking about, but they're screaming it and they're protesting it, and they're banging their pots. And
well, then who has indoctrinated them and taught them to hate Israel? Was it academia itself?
Well, you know, Bill, I think that it's a ripe and fertile ground for this kind of thing. When I think we talked about this yesterday, you know, when you're a young kid in school, you are, as Rush used to describe them, as a mind mush. Of mush.
Yeah.
You are somebody who has been spending most of their time worried about high school exams, and you know, it's been a very sheltered and closed environment. All of a sudden, you're in college, and some professor who you really respect because he sounds so articulate and so knowledgeable is telling you that, well, you've got to do this and you should believe in that, and socialism is really the way to go, and capitalism is a old school and it's not to be trusted, and all of these lies, you know, and they throw them out there, and these kids just take it all in, you know. And what amazes me is they're so sure of themselves. They're so confident that what they're doing is just. You know, they're calling for the death, seriously, of Jews. And I'd be willing to bet you that at least 80% of these kids couldn't tell you about Bergen-Belsen, Buchenwald, Sobibor, Auschwitz. They couldn't tell you about the Ultimate Solution back in 1940. They couldn't tell you about that because they don't know. But they'll tell you they go to Columbia or I go to Harvard, you know, but they don't know the story.
Well, who's been around that was around then that could have polluted the minds and used money to influence
academia? Well, it is the deep state. The deep state.
Definitely the deep state.
And it's guys like, dare I say, Soros.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Well, you know, Bill, we talked about this too yesterday, that if you look at an aerial shot of these encampments on college campuses, most of the tents are the same green-colored tent.
It was funded.
Yeah.
Because somebody said, okay, we're going to stage a protest. Well, we're going to need tents for the encampment here for them to hang out in. All right, make a mass order at this warehouse, because if it was up to the kids, they got a list, and make sure you go get this. One kid would have gone to Walmart, the other one would have gone to JCPenney, you know, or some store or Target, and none of them would have the same gear.
Bill, here's what I don't understand. Don't they realize that if they don't stop it now, if they don't stop this now, it's not going to go to a crescendo and then stop. It's going to keep getting worse and worse and more violent. They're going to dig down, and it's going to have a terrible end result if the people in charge don't get their act together.
Well, the people in charge and the government, because I will say this to my little my Democrat friends out there, and they're really not friends. All of this protesting and everything that's going on,
yeah.
You don't think that's going to not help Trump's numbers?
Oh, it already is. Well, Joe Scarborough and Mika, they actually kind of went like ballistic yesterday, I guess, on their show.
Because,
yeah, I think I have it too. They were talking about how if they don't stop all of this nonsense, you know, if they don't, let me see if I can find the actual.
I think it's too late.
This is
because I guarantee the kids aren't going to get their message because they don't watch Joe and Mika.
This is Joe.
I don't.
Joe and Mika yesterday. Listen.
To NBC News in 1968 about ongoing protests at the school in opposition to the Vietnam War.
I've got to say, it makes as much sense in 2024 having 18 or 19-year-old people running college campuses as it did in 1968, which is to say, doesn't make any sense at all. And you do wonder where the adults are, the adults that are supposed to be running the university, the amount of money that they are paid to educate students, and they can't allow students to go to class because a small subset of those students and outside agitators want to shut down the camp. Where are the adults? It's staggering. Not just to me. I know I'm a conservative. Not just to me, but to 90% of Americans. They want to know where the adults are at Columbia. They want to know where the adults are at Penn. They want to know where the adults are at Harvard. They want to know where the adults are at all of these college campuses where they're letting their students and outside agitators run across the campus, shut down debate, scream whenever anybody tries to talk reason to them, shout genocidal chants, hold up signs pointing to Jews saying Hamas's next victims, holding up signs talking about the final solution.
Yeah, he seems also, he seems surprised. This is Scarborough talking, right?
Yeah.
He seems surprised, Bill. But it's his guys that have fostered this environment. You know, he calls himself a conservative,
too. He doesn't want to admit that. Oh, yeah, well, I'm a conservative. No, he's not a conservative. But, you know, I mean, in this point, you know, he is right. And I'm right. This is going to play, you know, right in the hands, which I'm happy because this is everything we talk about, into Trump's hands. And that's,
yeah, he said, it is. Scarborough says later on in this bit, he says, well, it's going to get Trump elected. You know, yeah, if this keeps going on, it's going to get Trump. Listen, this is nothing to do with Trump. Trump is not supporting this violence. If anybody should be speaking out against it, it should be Biden, and he's not.
Biden, well, no. He was allowing an AI picture to attack Kristi Noem. We can talk about that later. You know, him with two puppies and ice cream, you know. And it's because, and that the only reason I'll say for that attack, they, and I have the answer to it too, is that they just wanted, they think that she's going to be the vice presidential nominee. So they've got a hit folder on any potential person, and they're going to knock it down one at a time.
You know, this is not just happening in this country. You know,
it's everywhere.
We think it's happening just here.
No.
But you know what they're doing in England? No.
What?
And you're hearing nothing about this. Suddenly, England has said, we're going to start sending these illegals back to, I think they're going to send them to Rwanda, to camps in Rwanda. And then, I guess, from Rwanda, they're going to send them back to wherever they came from. If they arrest illegals in England, from what I understand, they're going to send them back to Rwanda, and then from Rwanda back to where they came from. This is a quiet decision that apparently England has made, and they're just doing it, you know. Now, mind you, England was so tolerant for so long. My goodness, we have listeners in England, and I'm sure they know what I'm talking about. Suddenly, England is, I think they've had their fill of these unwanted strangers in their country. Plus, listen, we talked about this too. There are terrorists. They've admitted this in this country. There are terrorists that have come across the border. There are terrorists who have come across as recently as like last week. They caught a guy at the bridge yesterday with the Peace Bridge. They caught him with child pornography. He had child pornography. We were letting him into the country.
Well, again, you know, why wouldn't we? We're the number one trafficker of children for, you know, the porn industry and everything else.
You know, the United Arab Emirates, the foreign minister, was talking about terrorism. This is actually, he recorded this a few years ago, but it's really worth listening to now. It's only about 45 seconds long, but it's funny. He speaks, obviously, Arabic, but he says, I'm going to say this in English so you understand. And one of the reporters trying to show, well, I have the translation. No.
Let me explain it to you.
I'm going to do it in English. Listen, here he is, the foreign minister from the United Arab Emirates.
And let me say this in English so you can understand what I'm saying.
I have translation.
No, I know you have translation, but I just want to make sure you get it right. There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
That's pure ignorance. And, you know, he talked about Europe, but it's happening here. It's happening. All these demonstrations, they're going to lead to something. By the way, we talked about this earlier. It started with Occupy Wall Street and went on to BLM, Black Lives Matter, you know, where they had, you know, they've taken a section of Columbia University, a section of the Green, and they've called it the Occupied Zone, and they made it their property, the demonstration.
It's a war zone.
Yeah.
It's a war zone.
So,
yeah, it's,
he talked about Europe, but I would submit that there are a bunch of homegrown terrorists that are popping up here. These anarchists who are just so delighted to get into a situation like they have in all these different universities. Boy, how would you like to have a kid going to Virginia Commonwealth or Columbia, Harvard, Yale, University of Texas? All these big schools, and all you have are these troublemakers going down there raising hell. And you haven't got administrations that are mature enough, that are strong enough and responsible enough to say, get off our campus. Get off our campus. You know, University of Southern California, Bill, they canceled the graduation.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because the kids don't look. It's not on the media in the per se, you know, if you listen to music. It's not on the radio. You know, because these kids are getting information from somewhere, you know, to, okay, it's time to do this. It's time to do that. And, you know, the only thing that I can think that's universal is the internet and gaming and, you know, the apparatus that they talk on.
Yeah.
And that there's some form of communication that gets everybody riled up, and you know, kids are young. They want to fight for a cause and their cause, and but they don't know what they're fighting.
Let me ask you a question, Bill. If you're a bank robber, you're going to rob a bank, and you need weapons to rob the bank, and I have weapons, you know, but I'm way up the food chain, right? And I sell my weapons to somebody else who sells them to somebody else who sells them to you. There's a direct line from me to you. Am I not responsible for getting the weapons to you? Even if it goes through a number of different channels, if I know I'm getting my weapons to this channel and this channel is going to get them to you, aren't I responsible?
If there was intent when you got rid of that weapon that it would filter down, yeah, then you're guilty.
How do people like Soros get away with this? If they're paying all of this money to these different organizations, they know these organizations are going to get their stuff to these troublemakers. Aren't they as much a part of the problem as?
Well, there's a lot of ways to get guns legally and illegally.
No. No, you missed my point. I'm saying that I have the guns, or I have the money. I bought the tents. I bought the bricks. I bought the frozen bottles of water. I bought all that stuff, and I got them to the next level down, who got it to the troublemakers.
Well, once you have it, you can filter it down, and no one's going to track all of that. I mean, you look, it's a distribution network that let's say you make toilet paper. I have a roll here because I always have to blow my nose. But, you know, you make toilet paper. You have a distribution network. You set up a distribution network. So if you're going to do protest, you're going to set up a distribution network. There's always somebody that's going to truck your supplies. There's always somebody that's going to sit there and, you know, do that. And that network is not governed. I mean, you
just hit it on the head. You just nailed it. I'll tell you why you nailed it, okay? If you are making the toilet paper, if you are the Charmin or the Scotch, right. or you're making the toilet paper, and you wanted to get to the customer. You're right. not going to bring it to the customer. You make right. it. You're not going to. It's going to be distribution companies that are going to get it to the stores that get it to you. But if the toilet paper is defective, they're not going to sue the distribution companies. They're going to sue the company that made it. They're going right. to sue the big company that made it at the very beginning. And what I'm saying is that I don't understand how, you know, people, groups like Soros can get away with doing what they're doing to our country. They're doing vile, despicable things to our country. They're funding all of these different organizations that are doing so much damage to our society, and nobody is doing anything.
How many tentacles does an octopus have?
You expect me to count them? You know.
Well, okay, multiple, but I'm saying multiple. That distribution network, it's an underground network.
In some cases, yes. In some cases, it is underground. But I don't, you know, it has to be sent by a trucking company. You know, the trucking company has to be hired by somebody. If they were serious about finding out how it all got to them, they would trace it back. I don't think
they're
serious.
You're going to have to climb all the way up that ladder without getting killed because somebody somewhere is going to realize what you're doing. For all I know, it could come on a Pepsi truck because, you know, the truck is at the warehouse. The guy that drives the truck, he just comes in there. He's got a manifest. Yeah, you know, you got...
Yeah, but, Bill, I don't know. Nobody.
But you drop off things, and you're told you drop off and sign off, and you don't know everything you're dropping. Or you, for the most part, you do. But
if usually you sell crates of Pepsi, and this week you have cartons of tents, usually you know it's not the normal load that you're carrying.
Well, and if you're driving the load,
and most of the time you drop your Pepsi off at stores, not in the middle of a street. But that being said. I think that we don't have any people who are seriously investigating this stuff. We have a government that is giving it silent acquisition. What do they call it? Silent approval. They're giving their silent approval of what's happening by not doing anything. By Biden not saying stop it and stop it now, or I'm sending in the troops.
If he's not saying anything, does that mean that he knows and backs what's going on? Because the buck stops there, and he's going, I don't see no buck to stop. In other words, you know, I mean, you know, dot the I's with the Mar-a-Lago thing, you know, Cannon showed that, you know, all these Mar-a-Lago documents and everything. Oh, look at all that stuff on the floor. Well, that turned out to be a showpiece, and it turned out that it traced back, I think, pages 2 and 3 of the unredacted documents, goes, Joe Biden ordered it.
Well, not only that, but some of the people at the, like 8 months later, after the, 8 months after Trump got out of office, they said, hey, you got some boxes here and you haven't picked them up. Are you going to get them or what? We'll ship them down to you. They shipped them down to Mar-a-Lago. It was the FBI
planted the stuff. Evidence.
Yes. Unbelievable. And then the media. Like a bunch of sycophants, a bunch of puppies. Oh, they had all this stuff, and it had to be, you know, stuff that
had
he
to
stole.
Be planted, we didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, never mind the fact that Trump said, "I don't know where that came from. I never saw that before." You know, they stole my will. I can tell you that's what Trump said. He said they stole my will. This is nonsense, folks, and we're living through this nonsense, and we have an administration. A government in Washington that is basically allowing this nonsense, and all these different universities. I mean, I would pull my kid out, and I would demand a refund like the snap of a finger. I would say, you know, and as far as if the kid's a senior, I would say, look at you, just send the diploma, send the degree. You know, we're done. And I don't want to put my kid in jeopardy. I don't want to be around this campus or around you people. You don't have the brains and the decency to protect my kid and your students. This is nonsense. You know, I mean, Bill, if it were you or me and we were running these schools and we're not doctors, you know, we would say, hey, wait a second. Get these people off campus, protect the campus, you know, put a barrier up of some kind. They want to protest, they can protest around the barrier, but on the campus, these kids are going to be protected.
Well, you know, that's an interesting idea. You say, okay, you guys want to protest, you go right ahead. We will have simple food and water, but we're going to barricade the entire school, and you can stay in your self-made prison as long as you want, but when you want to come out, you're going to be processed and you're going to be punished, and that's all there is to it. Otherwise, you know, and at some point in time, when they're sitting there in their own feces and everything else because they've taken over this school, well, they have the building, so now they wouldn't have to worry.
You know what else I would do is I would say to all of the seniors at Columbia, the graduation is being moved to Lincoln Center, and we're going to have a graduation at Lincoln Center, and, you know, it won't be disrupted. There'll be no problem. We're not going to do it on campus. Sorry.
Students that are protesting, I would void all their academia credits.
Me too.
Yeah, I would just sit there and say, I don't care if you are a senior, a junior, a sophomore, whatever you are, whatever you learned, I hope you retain it because you got to do it all over again.
Actually, if you want to be effective, you can say, look it, effective at noon today, if you're not back in your class, if you're not back in your class permanently.
Your credits are canceled.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start classes at noon. We're going to take attendance. The first thing, if you're not back in your class, you are expelled. And like Bill said, you lose all your credit. You lose everything.
I would go one step further. If you sit there and go to the, to be expelled, you know, you go another day, you will not have the right to go back to a college, any college. You're going to have to go out and forge it on your own because you forfeited any benefit there. Now, that's somebody say he's a dictator, but I'm like, what they're doing is stupid.
Well, right now, they're allowing good people to be put in danger. You know, there are wonderful Jewish students who go to Columbia who are in fear for their lives now. They're being threatened to, they're threatening to kill these kids just because they're Jewish. You know? I mean, we're talking about teachers and students, professors and
students. Do we not know who the students are that are doing this? Do they not have an idea who they all are?
I think they do, Bill. I think they do know.
So should we find out, you know, if they're actually students or how many of them are actually students?
Well, you know, it's funny. You see pictures of them. The ones who seem to be the troublemakers, the ones who wear masks to cover their face, and that's because they don't want to be identified because they go to all these different campuses. It's their job.
Do you not think in this day and age we don't have a way of taking a picture and seeing the face behind the mask?
Actually, Bill, they do. They do.
So why not just sit there and, you know, publicly, you know, take the pictures and reprocess them,
Bill,
and just say, we're going to show your identity.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but I think that in the administrations of these schools, there's an element that actually agrees with the troublemakers, meaning that the liberal leftist professors and administrators actually agree with the people who are causing the problem, and that's why you haven't seen it come to a conclusion. They can't.
So you ought to shut down the school and vet everything, everybody.
Well, you know, Bill,
it's not just an attack. You know, look, it's racist. It's a racial attack. It's many things. You know, so
I got to tell you.
And it's evil.
If you think that it's only happening in this country, there's a young lady. Her name is Eva Vlerdingebroek.
Vlerdingebroek.
She is basically a political pundit in Europe. I think she's from the Netherlands. She is a beautiful young woman with a great deal of intelligence. She's really a smart person. And she was invited to speak at CPAC Hungary, the Conservative Political Action Committee Hungary. And she gave a very articulate speech in English. And it's a little bit long, but, you know, one of the nice things about doing this program is we have the ability to play things in their entirety because that's where you get the whole feeling for what's going on. And
exactly.
And Bill, it is essentially talking about what's happening in Europe, and we're talking about what's happening on our college campuses and stuff like that. In this country, it's the same thing, all part of the same messy conglomerate, global conglomerate.
Right.
But here's Ivo Vlerdingebroek speaking in front of CPAC Hungary recently.
Hello, Hungary. Hello, Budapest. Hello, fellow Europeans and American friends. Thank you so much for having me. Allow me to skip formalities for a moment and dive right into a subject that is not so cheerful, but very, very necessary to discuss. Let me walk you through the past 7 days in Europe. This week, in Stockholm, three elderly women in their 70s were stabbed in broad daylight on the streets. In London, four people were stabbed in a time span of just 42 hours. In Paris, hundreds of Afghan migrants took to the street to riot. And in Brigello, also in France, yet another church was burned down to the ground. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just a few incidents in just a couple of days on our beautiful continent. But we all know that these incidents aren't incidents anymore. If there's one thing that's for sure, is that we know, and our governments also know, that there is a link between mass migration and crime. In the Dutch city of Dordrecht, something interesting happened the other day. They announced, and this is a small city in the Netherlands, in my home country, that a new asylum center will be put in that little town. And what did the municipality do? They said, we are going to offer citizens who live in the vicinity of this center €1,000 to take extra safety measures. Our new reality in Europe consists of frequent rapes, stabbings, killings, murders, shootings, even beheadings. But let me be clear about one thing. This did not used to happen before. This is a newly imported problem. Samuel P. Huntington predicted this over 25 years ago when he wrote, and I quote, "In the new world of mass migration, the most pervasive, important, and dangerous conflicts will not be between the social classes. They will not be between the rich and the poor. They will be between peoples belonging to different cultural entities. Tribal wars and ethnic conflicts will occur within civilizations." Well, boy, was he right. And the worst part is, we as a society seem to have become indifferent to it. When another white boy or white girl dies at the hand of an immigrant, we might shake our head, we might let out a sigh, we might even get angry for a minute or two, and then we go on with our lives. We offer the family thoughts and prayers, but nothing ever changes. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that say about us? This is the sign, this is a response of a society that has already given up, a society that has already accepted its defeat. But is this true? Have we given up? Do we really accept the new reality that our globalist leaders have in mind for us? I know one thing for sure. And that is that if nothing changes, if we don't start to seriously fight for our continent, for our religion, for our people, our countries, then this time that we live in will go down in history as the time in which Western nations no longer had to get invaded by hostile armies in order to be conquered. This time will then go down in history as the period in which the invader was actively invited in by a corrupt elite. And not only did this corrupt elite invite the enemy in, they made the native population pay for it too. Everyone who has eyes can see it. the native, white, Christian, European population is being replaced at an ever-accelerating rate. Let me back this up for you with some statistics from my home country. Let's take Amsterdam, the capital. Amsterdam currently consists of 56% migrants. The Hague, 58% migrants. Rotterdam, almost 60% migrants. And of course, most of these immigrants come from non-Christian, non-Western, African and Middle Eastern countries. Conclusion, the Dutch population is already outnumbered in the majority of our cities. But let's look onwards. London, 54% migrants. Again, conclusion, native population outnumbered. Brussels, color me shocked, 70% migrants. Conclusion, native population majorly outnumbered. And other Europeans will, of course, follow suit soon if they haven't already. So I'm going to draw the forbidden conclusion here. The Great Replacement Theory is no longer a theory. It's reality. And what's interesting about replacement is that the establishment will either deny its existence, or when they admit to it, they say that it's a good thing that the native European population is soon no longer a majority on its own continent. Dutch national disgrace and dubbed climate pope Frans Timmermans already stated in 2015 that diversity is humanity's destiny and that Europe will be diverse. And of course, by now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you. Imagine this in an Asian or an African country. Imagine their leaders rejoicing in the fact that their people will soon no longer be a majority in their own country. Absolutely unthinkable, unimaginable. So what in the world is wrong with our leaders? The underlying sentiment of what they say is always the same. Our establishment claims that white people are evil and that our history is somehow fundamentally different from that of others. Consciously or unconsciously, they have sucked up the lies and the anti-white dogmas of the neo-Marxist critical race theory. That's why the totalitarians in Brussels are trying to force you, the Hungarian people, a sovereign nation, to accept immigrants despite the fact that the population has said no and so has the government. But make no mistake, the majority of the Dutch people haven't asked for this either. Just like Brussels is forcing Hungary to accept these hordes of immigrants, they are doing the same now even in the smallest of towns in the Netherlands. No part may remain Dutch in the traditional sense of the word. No part of Europe may remain European. And it's not difficult to understand why. If the old Europe still exists in certain places, then people will be able to compare the new Europe to the old, and newsflash, they will prefer the old. That's why the Eurocrats hate Hungary so much. And their message is clear. Our way of life, our Christian religion, our nations, they have to go, without exception. Their vision of the future is the neoliberal, unrecognizable Europe, where every city becomes kind of like Brussels. Ugly, dirty, unsafe, zero social cohesion, where the buildings are constantly under construction and they never ever seem to finish, and even when they do, the end result is uglier somehow than what they started with. And what are we left with? A permanent state of isolation, confusion, and disorientation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the New World Order. So what's the antidote? A strong Christian Europe of sovereign nation states. That's why we need to outright reject the lie that nationalism causes war. It's not nationalism or national sovereignty that causes war. It's expansionism. And where in Europe do we find that nowadays? In one place and one place only. Brussels. Isn't it funny how the same people who erode our national sovereignty and love to do it, give it all up to the Eurocrats there, that those people are now telling us that we need to spend billions and billions of euros on the national sovereignty of Ukraine? It's a joke, honestly, and it's a pretty sick, expensive, and dangerous joke. During a recent interview, I got asked by an interviewer, do you think that you ever go too far? Do you think that you're ever too radical? I thought about it for a second, and I said, no. No, I don't think I go too far. Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, I think we in Europe do not go far enough. I think that if we really think about the organized structural attack on our civilization, that we don't do enough. Do we do enough to stop the attack on our families, on our continent, on our countries, on our religion? When we hear about another murder, another stabbing of a young innocent child, do we do enough? When we know that our national sovereignty has been given up in less than a century to Brussels, do we do enough? When we hear that Christian kids in Germany are now converting to Islam to fit in, do we do enough? I don't think so. The totalitarian institute of the European Union needs to come down. Let me be clear, I don't believe in reforms. When the foundation of your institution is rotten, and that is the case in Brussels, you can rebuild the house on top of it all you want, but it's still going to crumble. So the only answer is the Tower of Babel needs to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the daughters and sons of the greatest nations on earth. And we need to ask ourselves, what has happened to us? Where do we come from? And more importantly, where are we going? Our elites have declared a war on us, and now it is time for us to put on the full armor of God, fight back, and win. Thank you so much.
Wow. Eva Vlerdingebroek. And
Dingelbroek, huh?
Yeah, she's very, very articulate, and I think she's right on the money. You know, Elon Musk, he responded to her speech. He said, the problem with the great replacement theory is that it fails to address the fundamental issue of low birth rates, which is interesting because, you know, that's coming, it's coming back to bite a lot of Europe in the derriere because, you know, they cut back on births, you know, with abortion and with prophylactics and things like that, and contraceptives, and their birth rate is down. So, but I do think that that can be adjusted. I think that in the right environment, you can turn that around. You know, Bill, I was thinking, I don't know that people realize this. This goes back to history, and I know a lot of people, they glaze over when you mention the word history, but during the Middle Ages, the Muslim armies invaded Europe, and they literally took control of parts of Spain and France, and they owned it for a while. And it had to be a countermeasure on the part of the Christians to take back their lands, and they did that. But now, like she said, we're just giving it all away. You know, as she said, I think she said to England, 54% of London is now illegal immigrants. And 70% of Brussels, Belgium, is illegals, and
so they're just herding the cattle all together, and it's all going to be one melting pot, and then somebody's going to come in with the stun sticks, you know, and zap is all. This is a crazy world that we're living in. Bad analogy, but you know,
we've got to take, you know, our ancestors. Like I said, they got together and took back their lands. They had the courage, intestinal fortitude, to take back what was theirs. You know, in this country here, we forget this, and I know that a lot of people are going to cringe, but, you know, we were founded on, dare I say, Judeo-Christian beliefs. Judeo-Christian beliefs. That's what most people will tell you the U.S. was built on.
Right.
We believe, and basically, initially, in the very beginning, it was basically Christian beliefs, you know, but...
Well...
Go ahead.
The Democrats have a word for that. They call it theocracy. And, I mean, Carville had a meltdown. Pelosi had a meltdown, but Carville had the meltdown and going, if people vote for Trump, that's it. We're going to be under theocracy. And I'm going, oh, so this is an attack on religion. Then you look at what's going on in Oklahoma. They got Senate Bill 36, which will allow, permit the presence of volunteer chaplains within educational institutions. Now it's passed. Now, what does that mean? It means people of all, you know, clergy of all, or chaplains of all faith can be there on a volunteer basis. Now, for the most part, I have no problem with that. But then the Satanic Temple goes, well, that being the case, we're going to go in there and deploy their ministers as chaplains in public schools across, you know, across that state.
I don't know of too many public schools that have chaplains, Bill.
No, neither do I. They opened a door. They opened a door for evil to walk in.
Well, believe me, this is a
but
fight.
Evil's already in the schools.
Yeah. You mentioned Nancy Pelosi. By the way,
that was a big meltdown.
I saw her on this interview. She looks literally, 30 years younger than she did when she left the speakership. I don't know what the hell's going on with her, folks. Trust me, she's older than I am, and she looks younger than I do, and I can't figure it out. I mean, whatever she's having, I want some too. No,
but maybe you don't.
Maybe I don't. You're right. I was just going to say that. But here's what she said. She was talking to Katie Tur on MSNBC, not somebody who was a Trump supporter, but Katie Tur made a correction based upon fact that went over like a pregnant pole vaulter with Nancy Pelosi. Listen.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't
he has
think
the worst.
That anybody can accuse
and
me of that.
I don't think anybody can accuse me of that. Katie Tur cannot be accused of being a Trump apologist. But you know, Bill, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not. You talked about the James Carville meltdown. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play it because I think he used a couple of.
Foul words,
foul words. He really went off the rails. But, you know, to me, it sounds like the people on the other side, like Pelosi and some of the other people, are really getting kind of desperate. Like they're starting to realize there's a distinct possibility that Donald Trump may be president, and they may be called to explain themselves. You know,
well, they're trying to throw everything they can at him. They take every little negative thing that they've created and throw it out there. But, you know, going back to that story, they actually pointed out that Trump's numbers were poverty was at an all-time low. It was a 50-year low, and there was a big jump in medium household income. The derailment to that was the pandemic. And let's explain that the pandemic, it looks like it was manufactured. So there's a reason why Nancy doesn't want that known, because, you know, the Democrats, they threw that. They dropped that on there. You know, when Biden sat there and said, we're going to build back better, but we got to break it first. And you didn't build it back better. You're coasting on the resurgence of what was in place before. So the Democrats actually own that lowest number in history. They just pinned it on Donald Trump.
Nancy Pelosi, when she goes over to MSNBC, she expects nothing but people who are going to bow and genuflect to her and not give her a hard time. So she goes over there and she says a bold-faced lie. She says Joe Biden created 9 million jobs. Joe Biden couldn't find his derriere with both hands, okay? But he didn't, and he didn't create 9 million jobs. It's a bold-faced lie. So when she's called out on it, she doesn't know how to react. It literally stopped her in her seat for about 3 seconds. Like, well, what do I do now? And then she gets angry at Katie Tur. Like, you're not following your script, Katie. You're supposed to be going along with me, nodding. Like, what I'm saying is the truth.
And, where's the note? Where's the credible source?
Yeah.
You know, and you look at all the little memes out there. Like, I saw one yesterday. You know, I get my new, you know, there was a meme about Fox News saying, you know, I get my news from Fox like I'd eat out of a toilet bowl. Well, I'm like going, well, you do eat out of a toilet bowl. It's called, you know, NBC, ABC, and CBS, because that is the mouth of Washington. It is not news. It's a scripted opinion based on and propaganda that comes out of, if you go network to network, you see the same story, the same script verbatim. Nobody sat there and did any journalistic work and researched it and wrote down, you know, their words to explain what's going on. You know, you don't insert opinion.
You know, before I forget, and this is something I meant to say before, you know, people tend to forget that Columbia is probably a school that has, I don't know, I want to say 20,000 students. I mean, a lot of students. Okay, so you're seeing in these demonstrations maybe 2,000 demonstrators, and they're all not Columbia students, like we've talked about. A lot of them are paid protesters who come in and cause trouble, you know, and the people who've gone to BLM riots and gone to Occupy Wall Street. These are the same people. It's what they do. They are anarchists. Their job, by the way, isn't to get you to believe that Hamas is the right side to be on. Their job is to cause rebellion. Their job is to break us up as a society. Their job isn't out there to go after the Jews, per se, or to be on the side of BLM members or any of those. Their job is to cause turmoil in this country, to divide us as a people, and to tear us apart at the fabric of our society. And that's all that they're supposed to do. Instigate. There were three terms: instigate, infiltrate, and confiscate. These are the things that these people do. These are the things that these troublemakers do. And but what I was trying to point out was that, you know, the majority of the students at Columbia, they just want to go to class. They just want to graduate in a few weeks. They just want to finish their courses. They don't want to be involved with all this nonsense. But this nonsense, thanks to the administration, has literally overwhelmed the entire school. You know.
It has. I'm trying to find it here. There was another college breakout. I believe it was in Virginia.
Virginia Commonwealth.
Yeah. So they've got things going on. And I'm looking at pictures from, you know, where we're talking about Columbia, the supporters. But I did notice, you know, like one of the guys with, you know, if you enhance the photo where he's lunging forward, number one, you can see he's clothed there, but his hand is exposed. And I'm going like, not a student. The person in the background is just kind of looking on. And I'm like going, this is not probably a student. This is, you know, someone that's a little bit older. And, you know, you can actually see him through the reflection of the glass.
You know, some of
and
the.
And I'm like going, he is not a student, but he is there. He is like somebody from a militia that's just paid like. You know, he's just an agent for hire to go out and do this and cause mayhem.
That's what he's there to do. They had an interview with one of the leaders of this thing at Columbia, and he sounded strange, but he also sounded violent. He was literally on the side of killing Jews. He wasn't against
genocide.
Killing Jews. Yeah, Jewicide. And
and
you know, somebody's going to get killed, Bill. They keep doing this. Somebody is going to get hurt. Killed.
Well, I think it's going to that level. And you know what? Going back to Joe and Mika, they are right that this actually plays into, you know, Donald Trump's hands, because, you know, us conservatives are against all of this. And if you're sitting there, on the left going, no, this is a good thing, please explain how it's a good thing. Because I'll keep an open ear, but you better have some good hard facts why it's a good thing, because I think you're an idiot.
Now,
you know,
getting back to Eva and what she said during that speech at CPAC Hungary, what we've learned from this really is that we're part of a global effort. It's a global effort. We have a tendency to think that these problems at these universities, it's just us. It's everywhere. It's globally. And, you know, that means, to me, that means there's a deep state out there that wants that, that's paying for this, that fosters this, that believes that the only way they're going to get their way is by destroying society as we know it now and implementing a new society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's may sound conspiracy theorist, but I'm afraid it's the truth, friends.
One world government.
Yes.
The new world order. This has been around. Look, you know, I can tell you this. The Bilderberger Society and what is going on now, you know, the World Economic Forum, you know, all heads to the same snake, and it goes back to one world government. And since 1990, I have had, even though I did, you know, regular radio and secular career, I also had my hand in, you know, political talk and things like this. And that is one thing I can tell you. It has been the constant fight, and I have seen it go from, you know, rumblings to what it is today. And, you know, the good guys are losing the fight.
You have to ask yourself, why do they hate Trump? Why do the globalists hate Trump? He should be one of them, because he's got more money than most people will ever have in three lifetimes.
They're trying to break. Why'd they steal his wheel? Joe Biden ordered that. It's been proven. If you don't think so, do a little work. Get off of NBC, get off of CBS, and get off of ABC, and quit going to Snoops and all of that stuff, and go out and do the actual factual research. Why do you think they want Cannon off the case? Because she exposed that. Is she Trump's best friend? Absolutely not.
No.
But she is getting some things exposed. But if you don't see it and don't know about it, it doesn't mean anything. Then that means that what she's done and exposed is for naught. But, you know, you got the left that's sitting out there with their little memes and attack stories, and they got attacks on everybody in play. You saw an example of that with Kristi Noem's new book, you know, that came out. Oh, she killed a dog. Well, let me tell you something. You know, you haven't lived out in the country or out in the woods, and sometimes there is a point, no matter how young or old the dog is, the dog will be put down. And you know what? She goes, the dog bit her in the hand. Well, guess what? Now, we don't know to what extent, but I can tell you this firsthand. Robinson Elementary School, when I was a young kid, and I'd sit there and I'd go through the field and I'd walk over there was a little ditch with a bridge. I'd go over and I'd go through the side gate. Some dog was out there, and I got bit by the gate. Ended up in the nurse. Ended up going and getting treated. That dog was put down there on the spot because it was out running in the field, and it looked
playful.
Well,
they say that when an animal gets a taste of blood, it changes the animal.
That's it.
Yeah.
You put it down. Now, you know, whether you want to believe that or not, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody took the story, oh, it was a puppy. Well, she might have loved the puppy. But the puppy had a problem. And take it at that, and they've taken the story and twisted it.
I missed that story altogether, Bill, so I'm not even sure.
Oh, it's all over. You'll see the ice cream. You know, and they're saying all these people showing them a picture of that dog, their dog, you know, and them having a loving picture of a puppy or a cuddly dog, and Joe with two dogs and ice cream, and
no,
I'm sitting
but,
there going.
Yeah, but Joe's dogs are historically violent. They ask the Secret Service. They've been bitten about 10 times. You know,
yeah.
And Joe doesn't
but
give.
But that's not the narrative. They wanted to attack her because they assume she is going to be the VP pick. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there. They've gone, you know, after Lake, and
he could be Ron DeSantis, based upon the meeting last Sunday.
Ron DeSantis. Well, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. And they don't know who it is, and that scares the hell out of them. But they thought it was going to be Christie, so they went and launched the attack. And you know what? You're a city slicker, and you live in an apartment in a little cozy world. You don't understand.
Well, we've had a very interesting conversation this morning. Talked about a lot of different things. Do I think that there is a global effort, a full-court press, to change us into a one-world government? I do. I do. I mean, I know that people say, oh, that's ridiculous. No, I do. You just have to listen to people like Eva Vlendingenbroek, you know, and you realize, wait a second, it's happening everywhere. Netherlands and Belgium and France and England, Sweden, Norway. It's happening all over the globe. And we better start to wake up, and we better do it pretty darn soon before we can't fix it. You know, I mean, this thing with these college campuses, not a problem. Could fix that in about 25 minutes. You send in the National Guard, have them dressed properly. They start putting people on buses, and you start expelling students. And then people start to wake up and say, I don't want this. I want to graduate. And they get a little maturity pretty darn fast, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, and I sit there, you know, you would have thought, to kind of a change of subject here, that we would have learned our lesson over the years about nuclear weapons, you know, and that you've got generation after generation going, no, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And yet, these people, these little earth-loving people now that they're older and in power, you know, Macron going, well, we got the bomb. Yeah, we got the bomb. Well, yeah. Wait a minute. You know, I mean, just the whole world is... Yeah. Upside down.
Well, you heard out. Zelensky said, hey, listen, I've got a deal in effect basically with the United States where they will fund this war for the next 10 years. Now, they haven't told us that. The people who are going to be doing the funding, our government and our politicians haven't told us that, but Zelensky told the world that a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we could go on and on. My friend, if you have anything else to add, now's your time.
There's a lot of things to add, but you know what? You know, I see the clock in the wall is shaking its fist at me. Like, it's probably yours is too.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to contact us, go to our website, itsanotherday.com, www.itsanotherday.com. Or go to www.jimandbill.com, and you will see all of our stuff there, our episodes. You'll be able to call us and leave a message. Our phone number's there. Our email address is there. You can actually click on it and send us an email. We are very reachable by going to the website. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you got it all summed up. I only think there's one thing left to do, and without further ado, I'm just going to go, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here.
This is CRN America.